Patty, I don't know about you, but finding unique places to take our RV is, I think, one of the most exciting things about RVing.
Absolutely.
Most time when people think about camping, they think of, your normal campsites.
Right.
But today I thought what we would do is share a type of camping that we like to do with our RV in this episode of Travels with Delaney,
the podcast.
Welcome back, everyone. My name's Patrick.
I'm Patty.
And we have been doing this thing we call RVing now for, gosh, almost 19 years.
A long time.
And we have owned everything from a 13-foot teardrop all the way up to a 35-foot fifth wheel.
And don't forget tents.
And tents along the way.
Yeah.
And currently we are in a 2023 Alliance Avenue 22ML fifth wheel.
Got it.
I'll get it out. 27 feet long. So
done.
And of course, I have to mention that we're joined on the podcast couch by Truman and Bess.
Yeah, if you don't know them, they are Cavalier King Charles Spaniels.
Yeah, so they're joining us today, helping us out with this podcast. If you want to see them, you can check out the video version of this podcast over on the YouTube channel, Travels with Delaney.
The podcast.
Yes.
How creative.
How creative. But before we get talking about today's feature topic.
Which is good.
It's going to be good, yes. We have to do what we always do at the start of these, another rousing rendition of This or That.
Okay.
And Patty is back in the hot seat.
I'm in the hot seat.
You've been in the hot seat a lot
lately. My tushy's been in the frying pan.
I know. All right, Patty. It's a hot summer day.
Yes.
And we are headed out to get some old-fashioned air conditioning at the local ice cream stand.
Ooh, you're talking.
Now we're talking. Which one are you choosing
if
these are your only two choices?
All right, got it.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Are you going with a hot fudge shake or a hot fudge sundae? And you can have all the toppings.
Oh, my.
Choices.
So hot fudge shake or hot fudge sundae.
And I'll let you add the toppings. Actually, to either one. If you want to add whipped cream, cherry, nuts.
Jimmy's
if you want.
I'm going to go with the shake. Mm-hmm. Because, I'm always fearful I'm going to drip on myself.
There you go. Patty's thinking ahead. She doesn't want to do laundry tonight.
I was hoping you'd throw in there lemon cone.
Well, if I throw lemon cone in, it automatically wins. There's nothing. Well,
if there's a lemon cone option, that's where I go.
Maybe the only thing that could even stand a chance against the lemon cone might be chip and mint.
Yeah, mint chip.
Or whatever. Yeah. But again, I think lemon wins on that.
Lemon usually wins out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a lemon fan. Mm-hmm.
Now, I like going for a twisty treat whenever we're in Florida.
Yes, they're creamy.
I don't know what it is about twisty treats, soft serve ice cream.
They're so creamy. Yeah.
And I prefer the creamier ice
over
cream.
Over the icy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
dad's just the opposite. He likes the icy.
Yeah. And summer is not that far away.
No.
And I don't know what it is about ice cream in the summer. It's like old-fashioned air conditioning. back in the days when we didn't have air conditioning.
No. Yep. Sit in front of the fan and eat your ice cream.
You know you're getting old when you're talking about the old days when you didn't have air conditioning.
Are you going to get into where you have to, your idea was cooling off, was you roll down the windows and go 55 miles an hour four windows down?
Yeah, the 455 air conditioning system. Uh-huh. Yeah, we had that in when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So four windows down, 55 miles an hour. There you go.
Yep.
All right. Well, today I thought what we would do is talk about a way to camp with your RV.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little different than your traditional campgrounds or state parks or things like that.
Yep.
Now, we have mentioned this in prior episodes, but a couple people had left comments saying, hey, you keep talking about Harvest Host, and I'm not really familiar with that. Could you do a podcast where elaborate?
That's
easy. I thought, hey, that's great. We love
Harvest Host.
We love Harvest Host, and we love getting ideas from you. For episodes.
Absolutely.
So, if you're familiar with Harvest Host, you're a Harvest Host member.
You know already how awesome it is.
You know already, but you may still enjoy hearing us talk about it.
Chipper jabber.
If not, this is where we'll
see. You later.
Yeah, this is where people drop off. But no. So let's talk about Harvest Host and what it is. And so for those of you who don't know, Harvest Host is a membership program.
Right.
Where you join for a yearly fee. Currently, at the time of this recording, it's $99 a year. Mm-hmm. However, I was just on their website because I wanted to verify the price. And they're running a special 15% off.
Yeah.
And so it brings it down to just under $85 for a membership. And that's going to be for the whole year. And ultimately, what you are buying for that $99 or discounted price is you're buying access to the Harvest Host database.
Yes.
Of things like farms and breweries, wineries, museums, attractions. I don't know. What else am I missing? Happy Acres Campground. places that will allow you to spend one night in your RV overnight on their property.
Right.
And all they really ask is, in exchange for that, is you solicit the business.
Right.
And Harvest Host recommendation is somewhere between $20 and $30.
And that's easy.
Yeah. Because the thing is, when we go to, let's say,
a lavender farm.
A lavender farm, we end up spending a couple $100.
Because I'm buying Christmas gifts.
Yes. Exactly.
Birthday gifts. And Or a winery and we pick up bottles of wine.
As
gifts, usually.
Right.
And where have we been? We've been to like a farm that had baby cows.
Yes, and they had a dairy on site where we bought ice cream and yogurt
and cheeses, and we got to feed the baby cows.
Yes.
Yes.
And so here's the thing, and I want to say this right up front. Mm-hmm. Harvest Host is not free camping.
No, a lot of people think it is. It's not.
Right. And I've heard other people say like, oh, Harvest Host, they bill it as free camp. No, nobody has ever said, and if they have, they've said it wrong.
Wrong, yeah.
What Harvest Host is again, it's that membership program to get you a unique overnight RV experience. Mm-hmm. And
we've had some good ones.
Oh my gosh. Over the years, we have had some amazing ones. We'll talk about some of those in a little bit. Mm-hmm. So how does it work? Well, you join the program.
Yep.
Okay. You go online to harvesthosts.com and you sign up. And once you're a member, you'll get your member ID number. And what I recommend is it'll show your card online. Just take a photo of that and save it as a favorite. So when you get to your site locations to check in, you can just whip out your phone. That's what I do. And that way I have my membership card right there. But on the website then, you can search for wherever you're planning your trip. And it's going to bring up all the participating hosts. And then you can click on specific host and it'll tell you all about that facility.
Right.
Including things like how many overnight guests will they allow on a given night.
Right.
So some is literally one. There'll only be one RV there and that's it. Others, if they have more space, may allow two, three, four or more.
It just depends. Yep. Yeah.
It will also list how big of an RV they can host. Because there are some hosts that are literally, you know, maybe like a family farm or like the dairy that we were at.
Or next to an apple orchard.
Yeah,
or...
and they may only be able to accommodate a 30-foot RV. Mm-hmm. And so it'll be listed on the site. And then most of the hosts now, I believe, use the online reservation system. Mm-hmm. So when we became members years ago, you had to call the host and find out if there was availability.
Yep.
I love the new system.
It makes it a lot easier.
I just go in, I look on their calendar to see if it's available. Yep. Once I see it's available, I put in my request. And usually within less than 12 hours, in most cases,
they let you know.
They let you know you're all confirmed and ready to go. And so literally you can just sort through. I mean, a lot of times when we're traveling, we'll say like, okay, this is going to be a Harvest Host stop. Mm-hmm. We want to do a Harvest Host because we want an experience. We don't just want an overnight stay.
Right.
And then we'll start seeing like what our options are in a given area.
Right.
And so that's why we always read the descriptions. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. Understand this is overnight parking in essence.
Right.
In most cases, there are no hookups.
Right.
So no water, no electric, no sewer. In most cases, and the reason I'm saying it that way, there are some
that have done that.
Yep, that will offer up for an additional fee, hooking up to their electric or letting you use water, things like that. But you should go into this assuming
there's nothing.
There's nothing.
You got to have all your tanks with water and you're good to go. You're able to be comfortable, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But if you find a host online that says for an additional fee, you can have electricity, you know, for $10. if it's hot out, I'd spend we have spent the $10 or 15 or whatever. Yep. And so, yeah, and then you book it. And then usually most of them will ask that you arrive during business hours.
Right, which makes sense.
Which makes sense.
Because you want to enjoy it. You don't want to just come in the night, sleep, and go.
Right. Like, so most of these are not going to be places where you can arrive at 11 o'clock at night.
No, they want you there at a good time so you can enjoy it. Or if they, sometimes they have like a, one time there was like a tour of the, because we were at a farm.
At a farm, yeah. Mm-hmm. So if, like if we're traveling and we know we want to travel late because we're trying to knock out miles, then we go Cracker Barrel.
Yeah, that's where we go.
But if we are not in a big hurry, and again, we want an experience, that's when we start looking at the harvest. And then usually I try to make sure we're arrived by 3 o'clock.
Right.
Because we want to get set up and we want to enjoy whatever the experience is.
Yeah, and sometimes there's like pizza ovens and food you can buy and you know wine you can drink or beers you can get or whatever. And yeah, we want to be able to do that kind of thing and not just come in late and not get to enjoy.
Right.
That's kind of a waste.
And I think they ask that you not stay more than 24 hours. So the nice thing is it's not like we're, we got to check out by 10 a.m. You know, you can probably stay a little, if you didn't get in until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, theoretically you could stay a little later and you won't be rushed, that type of thing. And so, and understand most hosts, it's one night only.
Yep.
Now, if a host offers to let you stay an additional night, that's fine. But you, again, you should go into this knowing
you need to think just one night.
One night, and that's basically how it works. There's no limits. If you wanted to stay at a Harvest Host every night of the year,
right?
You could.
You could.
They don't care as long as the host that you're, you know, you're gonna be moving around, but. You could do that. So I just wanted to make that known because I've had people ask me, like, how many times can I use
right.
it? Your membership is good for a full 365 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, that is what the Harvest Host program is about.
It's a neat program.
It's a neat program. So hopefully you understand it. Now let us share with you some of our favorites.
Oh my gosh.
Over the years. And I think this is going to be hard and we're going to have to keep it short.
I'm thinking one of the very first ones was in the Fruit Loop in Willamette Valley. Was that in
Oregon? No, that was out. Yes. Well, it was not in the Willamette Valley, but it was in Oregon.
Okay.
Near Mount Rainier.
Mount Hood.
You're right. Mount Hood.
We had our little tab and where we parked, we could, it was a beautiful day. And
the Columbia River Valley.
That's what it is.
Yep.
And most people say that told us that, oh my gosh, you got to see the top of Mount Hood because, you know, U.S. skiers for the Olympics practice up there. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Cause this was July and there was snow at the top.
Yeah.
And they said, normally it's just so clouded over, you can't see it, but we could actually sit. And that place you could go get, you know, wasn't it like different kinds of berries?
Yeah, so it was a blueberry farm.
Right.
And when we arrived, the blueberry farm was open. And I said, you know, we're here with the Harvest Host program. And she said, just go out back. She kind of pointed me in the direction. She said, anywhere you want to set up in the grass.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember I said to her, I'm like, oh, would it be okay if I back my trailer in so we're facing the mountain? She said, any way you want. You make yourself at home in that area.
Right.
Okay. And so we did, if you remember, I backed our Tab 400 up so
and
we could.
Our big old window.
Yep.
We were look looking out right at Mount Hood.
And then there they offered you pick blueberries,
cherries,
and red raspberries.
Right.
Were in season when we were there.
Yep.
And so, and the hosts were great.
Yes.
I mean, they were just so nice and welcoming. Mm-hmm. And so we ended up picking, well, I think everything. I think we picked some blueberries, we picked some raspberries and some
everything
cherries.
Everything was awesome.
And just had a wonderful time.
Now, if I remember, I think by the time nightfall came, there might have been three other campers with us, like a total of four maybe.
Oh, I don't remember anybody there.
There was a couple others there. We were all spread out pretty good. But yeah, it wasn't loud, it was quiet, it was peaceful, it was great.
Yeah. So that's one of your favorites?
That's one of my favorites. There's another one in my brain right now. But
okay, let's hear it.
It's going to be the Lavender Farm in Washington, the state of Washington.
Squim.
That place was unbelievable because I always thought lavender was just purple. But they had purple, white, yellow, the rose and rose lavender on this hill. And we were up in the hill and surrounded by lavender. And Truman was just a baby. I'm like, we're all going to sleep well tonight. Yeah. Because you could just smell the lavender and the sun. It was beautiful. They had an awesome, like, I guess, store.
Gift shop or, yeah.
Because we got lavender ice cream.
Lavender ice cream.
Yeah. And then they had all kinds of lavender products. You bought a lot of
products, like lotions and soaps and things that you used.
And you even had stuff for cooking. You got for your chefs that you work with.
Yeah, there was like lavender flavored, I think, salts and things like that. Yeah. And what was great there, I remember they had told us that night there was only going to be two of us.
Yeah.
And we went up on the hill.
Yep.
And the motorhome was down low. Yep. Just because it was easier for them. And, but I remember the gal in the gift shop, she said, you know, if you want to take photos and video, if you wait till we close at 5 o'clock, the two of you are going to have
The whole place to yourself,
and you'll be able to get some really good shots. So, so we didn't really attempt to, and neither did the other couple in the motorhome. And then, you know, they closed at like 5, and like about 5:15, I think it was, or 5:30.
Yeah,
a van showed up with a whole group of people.
With their cameras.
With their cameras. I don't know if it was like a photography club or...
And then they spent so much time taking photos that we really didn't get to do.
What we wanted to do.
Yeah.
And it was funny because I remember talking to that other couple, and they're like, I don't think they knew this group was coming.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it was like a tour group that just knew like once the Lavender Farm closed. But it was still a wonderful evening sitting out.
Oh, yeah.
It was just
perfect
beautiful.
Perfect weather. The state of Washington was just beautiful. So, yeah.
So, one of my favorites, and here's the thing. We have had so many.
Good experiences.
For instance, a good example is like the Silver Knot.
Oh, my gosh. I forgot about Silver Knot.
It's a wedding
venue.
Thank you. I couldn't think of the word I wanted to use.
And they added a campground now, too.
Now they have actual little campsites.
Yeah.
But, oh my gosh, the host there is so
nice.
I remember, you know, I said, after we got set up, and I said, you know, we need to go up to your gift shop. And she said, well, we don't have a gift shop yet. And I said, I was going to buy something to support you. And she said, don't worry about it. We're going to eventually get a little gift shop here, but we just don't have anything. And I remember I gave her like a $20 bill, and she's like, I'm not taking it, you know. And I'm like, yes, you are. Because, I mean, here was the thing. We were just in a gravel parking lot.
But the property was awesome.
Oh, it was so gorgeous. Beautiful. And we're looking out at the mountains and
they had a water feature made out of rocks and flowers and for the weddings, and you could walk around, and it was a beautiful property.
I remember I finally convinced her to take the $20 bill because I'm like, do you know what KOAs charge? You don't get this kind of view at most KOAs.
And that's the night we learned what a sound of a peacock sounds like when they're excited, when there's two peacocks in the neighboring farm.
Yes.
Sound like.
I mean, that's...
It was interesting, but it was just... That place was so cool because... Anyway, it's big sky country anyway, and the stars at night, and it's just...
It was gorgeous.
Beautiful.
And I hope someday to get back to the
Silver Knot. It was beautiful.
Our very first Harvest Host, if you remember...
Winery.
It was a winery in Oregon that had... We just happened to arrive on a Friday.
Yep.
And that night, they were having a brick pizza oven come in.
And entertainment.
And live entertainment. Yeah. And so we literally...
The guitarist.
And I remember the gentleman, I went up and did a wine... Or I guess we both did.
We went up with you.
Yeah, we went up, did a wine tasting, bought two or three bottles of wine. Mm-hmm. And I remember he said, hey, I've got this pizza oven guy coming, but don't feel like you have to buy any pizza. You can just bring your own food up and your lawn chairs and enjoy.
Why would we do that?
Because he said, he goes, look, we invite the public out and we let them bring picnics.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, I remember we grabbed our lawn chairs out of the RV. We walked up and I wasn't cooking. We had pizza and we had live entertainment.
And it was so cool because we're like, okay, they're done. Everybody's getting in their cars.
Car to leave. And
we just have to walk back to our camper.
Yeah. It was
great. I
remember
one more camper because they had us on each side of a barn.
Yeah. There was a couple of us there that night. And you're right. They put us on opposite sides of the barn.
Yeah. And we could look at the rows and rows of grapes.
Yeah. And I remember now they didn't do it when we were there, but I remember the owner telling me that like one or two days a week they had yoga with goats.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
And so there was that time. I mean, oh my gosh, we could just go on and on.
Well, the place that you could get a steak dinner, was it?
Yeah.
In South Dakota or something?
I don't know if it was. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes. It was North Dakota.
North Dakota.
So we were at this winery in North Dakota.
And it had some Lucille Ball history in there, too.
Yeah. I don't remember the whole story of that. But I do remember that it was like Friday or Saturday nights, and we just happened to hit it on the right night. You had called. He said he had availability. And then he said, and then I think you said, oh, I read online you have dinners. Could we get dinner tonight? And the way they did it was like a one night during the summer.
Yeah.
And I think he told you we're technically booked, but if you don't mind
sitting on the patio.
Patio or outside.
Because we had the pups,
and
too.
We said, that actually works better because we have...
And they said, they're welcome. We can put you outside. Yeah.
And so I remember I went in again, did a wine tasting, bought some wine. So then we go up for dinner, and they take us outside to like this little private patio.
Yep, and it had like a little water feature and flowers, again. And it was a pretty tree, and there's nice breeze.
I think we had the best seat.
I think so.
By getting the set out there. And I remember I said, well, I'll come in and get our meals. He's like, no, you won't.
They served it to us,
and it was this amazing steak dinner. And like the owners of the winery actually made the food. So it was like a homemade broccoli salad or something, I remember. And
it was good.
So you just find these. Now, not all the time are you going to luck into those things. I mean, we've been at plenty of wineries that didn't have live entertainment because we were there on the wrong night or whatever.
Yep.
One that I really enjoyed and I wish I could remember the actual name of it, but it was a farm in South Carolina.
Yep. The regenerative farm.
Regenerative farm, yes. And I remember when we showed up, there were chickens running around
all
our RV.
Over the place.
And I remember the owner came, parked us, and she said, I do a tour every night at, we'll say
whatever.
6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then she said, and then after the tour, if you want to buy anything like meats and stuff.
Yep.
And so we said, great. And
they had eggs and.
Yeah. And I remember when we had pulled in, we had saw a vegetable stand up front. And so you and I walked up, and there were no prices. It just says, give what you can afford.
And there was like a freezer of things, odd kind of meats and stuff. And we kind of didn't know what that was all about. But you learned about it on the tour.
Yeah. So I think, for whatever reason, you didn't
I stayed back with the pups, I think. Yeah.
So I go on this tour. I learn all about their farm and their regenerative farming. It was absolutely phenomenal. And so I asked, I said, hey, we walked up earlier and bought some vegetables, and I noticed there was no prices, but we just put some money in. I hope I put enough. And she said, hey, look, here's a story on that. She said, we live in some of our neighbors are pretty poor. And so we put those up there because we believe everybody should be able to eat healthy, and our produce is organic. And so she said, if you can't afford to buy a zucchini, we're okay with you taking a zucchini.
Right.
But if you can afford to pay for it, great. And I said, well, I noticed you had some meat in the freezer, but I couldn't figure out what it was. And the short of it was, she said that basically it was things that I wouldn't even begin to know how to cook.
But a lot of people around there know how to
take the weird parts of a cow or a pig,
and make it into a nice meal for their family.
And she goes, we just put it up there for them free of charge,
yep.
And they will make delicious meals out of it. And they were just such nice people, such a great story. I remember she said, if anybody would like eggs, and I said, oh, yeah, I'll take fresh eggs. I thought she was going to go to the cooler and get them.
No.
No, she went into the hen house and got them fresh.
Came out with them.
And I remember buying some meat from her. Because they raised hogs and chickens.
We had sausage.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. But that was such a neat experience, getting to go on that tour. I never heard of regenerative farming.
No.
And to see it in action.
Well, and outside one side of the trailer, I remember there was some cows in their little area.
Yep.
And off one side, there were some goats. And then you could see some little piggies off in one area. And the chicken were just running around because Truman and I were watching the chickens. And there was a rooster. And we named him Boots. Because he had, I don't know, some kind of feathers on his legs that made him look like he had disco boots on. So he was just running around. We were very entertained by the birds. So,
and I guess two more we should mention, and then we're going to have to wrap this up. But Booth Bay Harbor Brewery.
Oh, that's awesome.
Have to give a shout out to our friend Riley and the family.
Oh, my gosh,
Cody,
that place is amazing.
They were the first brewery to participate in the Harvest Host program.
Yep.
And now they might be the most popular.
I think so.
One of the most popular.
Well, and they really added to their camping
area. Yeah, you can actually pay to camp there, but they still have their Harvest Host sites. But they have a brewery on site. You can go up and eat amazing food. Like the smash burgers are
awesome.
Phenomenal. The chicken wings.
Their beers are so good.
Thirsty Botanist.
I forget the one, the Lawnmobile.
Lawnmobile is the one you like. and then the other one, I would say the two places we've stayed the most, although technically Booth Bay, we always end up just paying.
Right.
Because we want full hookup.
Yep.
But the one we've stayed at the most as a Harvest Host member is the Red Apple Farm.
Oh, that's so pretty
in
there.
In Phillipston, Massachusetts.
That place is cool because there's ponds, and then they've got the apple orchards, and they got open fields that you can be in, because we were in a different section this last time. And they have a building that you can get all kinds of apple products and apple food, apple pies, apple tarts, whatever you call it. And then they even have they have an area now where you can get food to order.
Barbecue
and sometimes
and
they
pizza
have and music and entertainment and you name it.
I think we have now Harvest Hosted
there. Oh, there's even a petting zoo there.
Yeah, there is.
For kids.
I think we've now Harvest Hosted there three different times. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we just love going there if we get out that way.
Yeah, it's such a pretty area.
And we're only scratching the surface.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, we've never stayed at a museum. But
no.
A good example is not too far from where we live here in Northeast Indiana is the RV Museum and Hall of Fame.
You can do it there.
Harvest Host.
Yeah.
So you can spend the night in the parking lot and then either the day you arrive, go in and go through the museum
or the next day.
Yep. And, you know, that's a great experience and a wonderful,
safe place. That's an awesome museum. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we just wanted to share with you the Harvest Host experience that we've had. Mm-hmm. Is it for everyone?
Maybe not.
Maybe not. If you don't want to go overnight without
shore power and your
water and sewer, then it's not for you.
Yeah.
But if you are somebody who says, you know, sometimes I like to get off the beaten path,
mix it up a little bit.
And I'm, you know, don't get me wrong, we all love Patty and I love the glamping experience.
Oh, sure.
But we also like these really unique experiences.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And so it's just another, you know, tool in our arsenal.
It's another branch of camping that you can go into. Yeah.
We've been members, I think we joined way back in like 2017 or 2018, and we just have it on auto renewal.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today for another episode. Again, without all of you listening and supporting us through your kind comments and feedback.
Yep. Really appreciate
it. We just wouldn't do this because, quite frankly, as I always say, it's just a conversation with headsets in with my wife. So, and a huge shout out to our friend and producer, Mr. Jim Kuzman.
Thank you, Jim.
Jim is the one who edits the audio side and cleans
it
up.
Makes it sound fabulous.
Yeah. And he works hard. And
yes, he does.
We tell him thank you. And we buy him gifts like maple syrup and bourbon. But that's never going to be enough for all that he does. No. So, all right. Well, I think that's going to do it for this week's episode, and we hope to see you next week, same day, same time. And until then, we'll see you
on down the road.
Bye.
Travels with the lady. We'll see you on down the road.
Oh, my.